Hello and welcome to the Wild Wormhole, where much like the card, you never know what you're gonna get, including a 3-month hiatus again. I am your host, D House, here with Jim. Hey, Jim, also known as Jay Bray.
Hello, D House. Yep, Jay Bray, Jim. It's kind of whatever, yeah.
How's it going, man?
It's good, it's good. It's good to be back. Has been a long time. We were just talking, I think it's been since 2019.
That sounds so much worse.
I know it. It's okay. It's been a pretty chill year so far. Nothing too crazy has happened, you know, in the world as we know it.
Yeah, 2020's been really just a, you know, non-historical year at all.
Except now the Wild Wormhole's back.
That's right. Maybe
so
that
history
was
starts today.
maybe the world's gone crazy and all the stuff that's happened is because we forgot to record.
Right. You know, there's been mass mutations announcements. You know, everything happening about worlds, but still there's that hole in everyone's hearts of where is the Wild Wormhole?
Let's talk about it a little bit, because we've had a couple hiatuses here and there. You know, you came on after, you know, one of them, but at least from my perspective, a little bit of why recording doesn't happen all the time. There's a couple reasons. The main reason is I have a 2-year-old and now a 4-month-old, and until this last week, she was waking up like 3 times a night, and I get very little sleep. So usually after I hit like 7 p.m., I'm just done. I don't want to record anything.
Absolutely, and you can't record a podcast before 7 p.m., so it makes all the sense in the world.
No, that's impossible. but now that she's sleeping, I'm like, whoa, I have some energy. Like, and I was like, hey, let's record again. It sounds fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially, you know, with all this time indoors, it's like, let's jump back in it. So hopefully this becomes more regular thing again. We're really excited about it. And, seems like we're finally in a pretty good spot to have a little bit of consistency, which is nice.
But listen, we are the Wild Wormhole, and we said it from the beginning. You never know what you're going to get. So we can't make any promises. When you play the Wild Wormhole, like you really, like, it could be, like, something that wins the game for you, or it could wipe your board. And
absolutely. Oh, you have Harbinger out, and you Wild Wormhole into a Gleeful Mayhem? See ya, board. Never know what happens. May have happened to me. I'm not bitter. It's fine.
Although, I will say, we have a house rule around here that if you play Wild Wormhole, you auto-win. Like, it's just we've changed the text of the card to you win the game when you play the Wild Wormhole.
I've had to concede a lot of games online to you because you play the Wild Wormhole. Yeah.
And at chain bounds and everything, it's just like, oh, I lose. That was a good 2-minute game. It's over.
You'd think that would get boring for, like, gameplay, but it really doesn't. It's just like, wow, you did it. Good job. Everyone kind of high-fives it out, or air fives these days. such a good winning strategy.
The best was the other night where you're like, we played a bunch of competitive games, and then we're like, let's just play a quick sealed game, Jim. And what did you do? What did you select for our sealed game?
So, the first part of the options says, hey, do you just want to limit it to the Worlds Collide? And I was like, no way. Why would I just limit this? So I thought, surely this won't be an issue. Click the CODA option. Click the AOA option. And lo and behold, we both get 2 AOA decks.
I thought you just did AOA only.
Oh, no. No, the option was there for CODA and Worlds Collide. Just fate had a different, you know, sense of humor that day. And boy, am I glad that it did. Because you were saying we have like 15 minutes. Let's play a nice game of Sealed, because that was a great idea.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah, so yeah. We got these 2 AOA decks that were like just awful. Just both were terrible. Both were like, I just want to go really wide with my board. No board wipes. Let's just fight and stall. And and all the little Amber Imps and the Mars guys. You reaped while you're stunned now, so I'm going to slow you down. And all the things that made AOA not such a great expansion, it was like pulling teeth to play that game. Like, that was that was the worst Keyforge game I think I've ever played.
It's okay. But it did have redeeming qualities to it.
Yeah, but the best part was at the end, I literally could stop you, and I was like, forget it. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to play this Wild Wormhole to end the game. and then you actually hit concede on the Crucible.
I told you, you said that's how you win games. I was, you know, a man of my word. You know, you played Wild Wormhole. I'll do that in a competitive tournament. So if you get, if you guys ever play me in a tournament, just be prepared. If you play Wild Wormhole and I leave, I'm not bitter. You just won, and that's okay.
Oh, I love it. So yeah. So anyway, so speaking of that, let's jump right into our KeyForge endeavors. Talking about the state of KeyForge in quarantine. And isolation. Obviously, we're in a very weird moment in the history of the world where we're all socially distancing ourselves, and which leads to no local game store chain bounds, but a lot of Crucible Online and gaming online, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been really fun, too, just kind of jumping back in there, just the ease of playing online cannot be overstated. It's like, oh, I have 20 minutes. Sure, let's jump in. So it's actually been fun, you know, like you were saying earlier, with having a little bit more time back, us being able to play more. We've had some really fun games, and a couple other buddies that would normally show up to the chain bounce, they've all been on there quite a bit. So I feel like I'm actually playing more KeyForge now with local people than when we were available to just kind of meet up whenever, which has been pretty fun. So what about for you? What's KeyForge life been like since this quarantine started?
Yeah, I mean, exactly right. I mean, I think it's been jamming games online, testing, testing decks, which we'll get to in a minute. But I gotta say, I really, really miss my favorite KeyForge is what we affectionately called Monday Night KeyForge at my house, where we just get at my kitchen table and just invite guys over and we just jam some games and play any kind of deck you want to play. A lot of times, like, we invite new guys over to come and learn how to play KeyForge, and we haven't been able to do that in forever, both with my daughter being born. My daughter's been sick a lot, too, and then this hit, and I'm just like, we moved into a new house and got the kitchen table, and I'm like, I cannot wait to get some KeyForge on this kitchen table again. I can't wait to get back to Chain Bounce, too, but I think that Monday night environment of, like, playing some casual KeyForge is what I love the most. And so I miss that a lot. Like, I love playing online, and that's great, but it will never beat playing in person for me.
Yeah, I definitely can see that, too. Just like you said, I mean, the camaraderie and, like, the friendships that we've built through KeyForge, and like you said, those are definitely the best memories that we have of the game. So definitely just kind of like working with what we're allowed to do now. But yeah, I always loved the Monday night KeyForges. I was definitely a regular there, and, you know, we'd have 6 to 8 guys there some nights and just have a good old time. Just, you know, everybody forging keys and, picking on each other, as we all should. Mostly because I probably misplayed somewhere. You couldn't do math at some point.
But God, I hate math. I don't know if I said it on this podcast, but I lose the games that I lose. I think like 75% of the games I lose are because I did math incorrectly at some point. There's like 25% where I just straight up like, yeah, I lost that. But like sometimes it's like I think about it, I'm like, wow, that's a really complicated math problem. I don't want to do the math, so I'm just going to do what my gut says, and I play by my gut, and then I'm like, oh, that was really stupid. I shouldn't have done that. Math doesn't add up. So
see, I love like math. And it's the best part of my KeyForge experience when I'm like, David, you could have just done this, 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 and this, and you totally would have won the game. What are you thinking?
I know. It's like I would never win a world championship. I made top 8 in Star Wars Destiny world championship, and I think that was my peak. I don't think I can ever get past there because of my hatred for doing math during games. But
speaking of math during games, we played a pretty funny game recently.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we have to talk about this. Yep.
So it was another sealed one. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it was sealed, right? It was Worlds Collide sealed. Yeah. And my opening hand, did I go first or did you go first?
You did.
Okay, so my opening hand, I had Gambling Den. Now, I should probably read this card for those who, let me look it up real quick.
I have it right here.
Okay, read it.
Yeah, it says, it has an amber pip on it. It's an artifact through shadows. And it says, at the start of each player's turn, that player may name a house. If they do, reveal the top card of their deck. If it is of the named house, they gain 2 amber. Otherwise, they lose 2 amber. So there's gambling in Keyforge, guys.
And so I dropped that down as my first play of the game, right? And then Jim goes, and what do you do?
I do. In this lovely environment that is sealed, I also happen to get a deck with Shadows and Gambling Den, and I also happen to get that in my opening hand. So turn one, play one. David decides to play his Gambling Den. Turn one for me, I play my Gambling Den, and it is off to the races. And really early on, you figured out a pretty funny way to kind of cheat the system on this Gambling Den.
Yeah, because you trigger the first one, and you guess, oh, Shadows, and you reveal it's like, oh, shoot, it's not Shadows. Okay, but you see the card, and so then on the second one, you call the correct one, and then you just get those two back. So there's no gamble there, really. You can never actually lose Amber unless you're a total moron because you see the card from the first Gambling Den. So,
yeah, exactly.
But in the 33% chance that you get it right, instead of getting net zero, you go up 4 because you just guess it twice.
Right. And the other funny thing you brought up was it's at the start of the turn. And so it actually happens before you claim the house. It also happens before you forge a key step.
Yep.
So anyway, it was just hilarity ensued. Yeah, like you said, it went from like you could either go -2 amber to +2 amber or stay right where you are or go up 4 amber. And so, I mean, it was just no normal Keyforge rules were in play anymore. It really just turned into a race and see who was the best guesser, which, of course, was me.
I got it to a point where, like, we both had 2 keys, and I got up to, like, 6 or 7, and then it was your turn, and you didn't have 6 amber, but if you guessed the right card, then you went from, like, 3 amber to 7 amber and then forged a key immediately. Like, So it was like, if you guess it, you win. If you guess it wrong, then or you had to pull me off. I don't know. But it was, but I could still like guess and get 4 amber on my next turn. It was definitely like probably my favorite Keyforge game that I've ever played. So you and I have had 2 sealed games in the last week. One was the worst game I've ever played with 2 Aoi sealed, and the other one was the best one with 2 Gambling Den decks.
Hey, I'm all about those extremes. I don't want any boring games that are just kind of, you know, par for the course. I want extreme games that have memories involved with it. That is what I'm about. Absolutely.
So great. So we've been jamming some games. I've been listening to Keyforge podcast today. I actually mowed my lawn at my new house for the first time.
Very nice.
Got myself a riding mower and put the headphones in and listen. I was listening to Archon's Corner and Sanctimonious and just really enjoy that they've been cranking out some content for me to enjoy. And it also inspired me, like, hey, you know, we can push out content for our 3 listeners. and those 3 guys might have a little bit more enjoyable time in quarantine.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of those things, like, we so appreciate everybody who's putting out content for Keyforge, just to kind of, you know, keep that excitement and buzz around this game that we love so much. It's like, we can't thank you guys enough for everything that you guys do as well for the community.
Yeah, so great. So in this world of isolation and quarantine, the question everyone's asking is, when does Mass Mutation actually drop? Because we're getting to the point where we would have been about a month away, but everything's going to be delayed. So we're looking at sort of a question. Like, I think every day it changes, right? Like, when do we actually get to see it? Not that that's the most important thing right now, but
very true. Just like you said, it's kind of, everything's so up in the air and weird, and no one has definitive answers to anything right now. And so patience is definitely being tested here, as far as all of us are getting really excited about, you know, Mass Mutations, these new cards and cool combos, and why are there now draw effects on my Rad Penny? All sorts of cool, like, enhanced abilities that are going to be sweet. It's just kind of that waiting game, and, you know, just showing that patience, especially to just the card community, as far as they're not going to have answers right now either, and that's okay. But still trying to keep that buzz and excitement about this. So
yeah, I got to admit, I haven't paid that close attention to spoilers, so I don't know the set very well, but I love the enhance mechanic. I think it's again just making those games even more unique, where you're not just playing an Igor. You're playing an Igor that also does 3 damage to something, and you're like, what? And all of a sudden it makes those very interesting.
I'm very curious how much the enhanced mechanic is going to affect the next set. Obviously, I think we both watched that stream where they played 2 decks that they had created, and there were just tons of enhanced abilities on there. So I'm curious if that's going to be kind of par for the course, or if that was a little bit overdone just to show how wild and crazy that can be. But there's some very powerful effects on there too that can really swing games. So I think it just adds such another layer of fun, but also just complexity to the game that just makes it super cool. So normally that randomness is kind of left to online card games that are able to kind of mess with like RNG mechanics. But
yeah,
the fact that they're able to randomly, pick your deck kind of gives them some flexibility with that too. So it's really cool to see how they've explored that and are kind of pushing the envelope with that, whether it's through the enhance or the mega cards that we've been talking about and getting excited for. Like, I can't wait to slam a giant T-Rex out on the board and just not only like be this giant creature, but also literally physically be 2 cards that are just like taking over. Like, yeah, I'm in a good spot.
Yeah, I love that. And, I've mentioned on here before, but one of the things I love about KeyForge is every time I sit down to play this game, it's a unique experience. Because my deck is unique and my opponent's deck is unique. And sure, you and I play some repeat games, but most of the time it's like you might play a deck once in your entire lifetime or against a deck once in an entire lifetime. So it's a unique game. And one of the things that about other card games that are constructed and you build your deck, like a meta forms, and then you're seeing the same combos, you're seeing almost the same decks card for card in certain matchups. And some people love that because they love the chess feel of knowing exactly what's coming. I get bored and I start looking for something new. And KeyForge, that's why I like doing sealed sometimes after we play a lot of competitive, because I'm like, all right, let's just mix it up, let's do something crazy and see what happens.
Yeah,
and then double gambling then happens, So I think with the enhanced mechanic, it's just adding to that uniqueness. It's not just that I'm playing against a unique deck, but it's a unique deck with unique cards that there might be, it might be the only version of that card in the entire world. Because of its uniqueness. So I think that's awesome. I have no idea how they're going to code that for playing online. Because I heard today, in the app, when you pull up your deck in the app, you're not going to see which cards are enhanced in the app. So it's just on your, actual physical identity card where it's in blue. So I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I'm very interested to see kind of how that plays out, especially with the playing online and how that's tackled. But this community is fantastic. They'll find amazing ways to figure all of that out, and I'm sure they'll do an amazing job with it too.
For sure. And KeyForge needs its online play right now, right? If it doesn't exist and you can't play KeyForge, you're going to move on to other things that play online. So, thank goodness we have really smart people who have made it available online that we can play those games and have fun and then want to podcast about KeyForge more. So, So hopefully that's able to continue. Speaking of online, want to do a couple of shout outs to a couple of people doing great things. I mentioned Archon's Corner. They're doing daily tournaments right now, in their Discord channel, and every day there's a different format. I saw today it was a Shadows is Banned, tournament. So you just can't play Shadows, which is great.
Yeah.
And it's I think 8:30 Central, which is 9:30 our time. It's a little late for me, but maybe one of these days I can hop in there. So daily tournaments, that's pretty cool. Any thoughts, Jim?
Oops, sorry. Yeah, I lost you there for a second. Yeah, things like that are fantastic. Again, the shout outs to the rest of the community who's kind of putting those on. That's a huge undertaking and takes up, you know, hours of their lives, I'm sure, to kind of run those things. So just shows how much love that we do have for this game. And I personally love the, like, competitive feel of KeyForge. The fun games are awesome to me, but to really kind of, like, get down in there and kind of analyze and figure out the winning strategy in that competitive format, like, that's what gets my gears going. So, you know, just to have those available are incredible.
For sure. And then another group, new community called Knowledge is Power, has created KIPtournaments.com. Basically another place to play KeyForge online, but it's designed specifically to host tournaments. And they did this past weekend, this was pretty cool. They hosted two different tournaments Saturday, Sunday. The Saturday one filled up so quickly, they opened another one on Sunday. And for both tournaments, the winner got a free display box of Worlds Collide, which is,
wow,
like, crazy. But they've put that together. They've got, like, an adaptive option, and they could do, like, a chain bound option where, like, you win a game, your deck gets a chain. So it's sort of like an internal achievement kind of a thing, like, how many chains can you get on your deck, and, you know, to show the world how great this deck is or how good you are. But the main thing they're doing is preparing and hoping to, essentially, since Worlds is postponed / canceled / who knows, is to functionally run KeyForge World Championships online.
Yeah, and that's going to be a huge undertaking, but I know the guys behind it, I mean, they're so qualified and, you know, excited to kind of get the ball rolling. And I know there's a lot of buzz around that as well. So yeah, do you have any more details on that as far as kind of what that looks like or how just anybody playing KeyForge can get involved with that?
As far as I know, they're running it the same way as regular Worlds, where you basically have to prove that you have an invite somehow in order to get into it. So top 100 Vault Tour, or if you want a Prime or whatever. They have a Discord channel, which I should probably link somewhere, where they kind of explain what they're doing with it. But basically, same deal. You have to basically prove that you're there, and then you can, one member of your team, of your three-member team, has to have an invite, and then the rest kind of get in that way. But for those of us like you and me who were unable to procure such an invite,
it's true. Painfully close, but not quite there.
They are going to do a last chance qualifier tournament to potentially, you know, force our way in there. They said it's probably going to be Archon, some kind of Archon format, but that's all they know. They don't have anything more that I've seen on it. But speaking of that, I mean, we read about that, right? And we weren't planning to go to Worlds and couldn't get there. And, like, specifically, hashtag dad life, like, I wasn't going. But now that it's online, I'm like, hey, like, I can stay home and participate. Like, I texted you and Kevin, and I was like, we doing this?
And it was immediate, like, oh, we're doing it. So yeah. Somehow we'll find a way to get into the last chance qualifier. And between the three of us, I'm sure one of us, if it's top 64, will, like, manage to get 64th or something silly like that, where we'll kind of just sneak in there. So kind of fingers crossed, hoping for the best that these trash players can make an appearance. But yeah, it's been fun. We've already been talking about, you know, what that team would look like, how it plays, you know, analyzing who's best suited for which format. So
yeah,
sweet.
So officially, we have, like, functionally made a team, and we are Team Wormhole.
Team Wormhole.
Right,
and again,
this is when we need our buddy Marcus, who has the air horn app, like, at the ready, like, always, like, bow, bow, bow.
I don't know how he does it, but, like, he just can sense it coming. He's like, yep, oh, this is the time for it. So yeah, somewhere he probably just, like, got a feeling in his soul that, like, it was time for the bow, bow, bow.
Love it. So we've made a team, and we're gonna prep, and Jim, you and I have already played several games. Kevin's been kind of on his own schedule a little bit, but he's been jamming some games. And how do you feel so far about that?
So far, I think our chances of winning are about 50%, to be honest. Pretty solid there.
You missed what I just talked about, math, and I'm sure there will be lots of math in this tournament. So
right, right. So we either win it or we don't. So it's 50%. That's easy math. You can do that.
Okay. All right. I guess that sounds like good math that I can get behind.
That's our level of math. Honestly, though, like if we play it, we'll probably be the ones like talking to you through Discord, cracking jokes, and just having a good time. So, yeah. I mean, we're definitely going to do our best. We're practicing really hard and playing those competitive games, and usually finishing up with a sealed game at the end just to, you know, have some enjoyment back. And but yeah, it's been really fun to kind of strategize like that, and like you said, to kind of create that team and get focused in on like trying to win. That's something that, you know, we've gone to primes before, but even then it's kind of like, we're just gonna have fun, we'll see what happens.
Yep. So. Honestly, like right now in this, you know, season of social distancing and isolation, like it for me, it's like, oh, this gives me something to look forward to, because everything else in my life has been essentially canceled or postponed, and it's like, oh, well, that gives me something to like circle on the calendar and do. And as a dad, it's like, okay, that's doable. Like, so I appreciate the guys putting the work behind this to make it happen. And honestly, even if we don't qualify, it's like, man, I'll be tuning into the results, and I know there will be some streams and lots of that stuff. So we'll get the wormhole involved somehow. Maybe we'll,
sure.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. But it definitely sounds. I mean, even if we just did commentary over some of like the top games, like on our own channel, that maybe the ones that aren't in the main channel. I don't know. We'll have to talk to them, but because I don't want to step on any toes. But I'm just excited about it. Excited for KeyForge.
Yeah, I mean, I love this community so much. So just any opportunity for us to all kind of get together, even if it's through an online platform, it's like, count me in. So yeah, I mean, even like you said, even if we don't qualify, which, you know, fingers crossed we do, just to, you know, be very active members and parts of that community throughout the tournament. Like, I'm all good for it. So, but yeah, like as you were saying, like as we've been kind of talking about the tournament, talking about just the different formats, I think one thing we kind of bring up is kind of what makes a cool deck or what makes a good deck. And so as far as you, David, like what draws you to a deck? Like when you crack open that seal and you look through the cards, like what is it that gets you excited about a deck of KeyForge?
Yeah, I think for me, I think there are certain cards that I just enjoy playing. Like when I see it in my hand, I just go, oh yeah, here's the hotness. Like for me, like this won't surprise you, but I love, like, the two Mars cards. I love Hypnotic Command and Psychic Network. Like, if I get those, if I open a deck and it has Mars in it, I'm immediately looking for those cards. Like, if it has it, I'm like, okay, let's go.
That's so funny, because everyone thinks you, like, two cards of Mars. It's like, not those two. It's usually the Genka cards, but that's awesome.
Yeah. No. I'm like, I love those ones. And, you know, it's like I found a deck for $5 on Decks of KeyForge that, like I'm on a streak with, like it's I'm like 5-1 or something right now. Like, but it has both. I wanted a deck with like Psychic Network, Hypnotic Command, and 7 Mars creatures just to see if I could like pull off some like crazy turns. And it's just, oh my gosh, it's so much fun. So what draws me to deck? Sometimes it's like specific cards. You know, like Cincinnatus Rex, Golden Spiral. I look for that. Like, that combo, I'm like, okay, like that's interesting. Or double transporter platform with some upgrades and Star Alliance, like that's very interesting to me. So I feel like I do like combo-y decks, because I like big bursty plays where if the opponent doesn't see it coming or can't stop it, it's just like a huge swing, and it just, and there's something so satisfying about that play. You know, for one of my favorite decks, Cartier the Tight Purse, it's in the dis suite having Arise with Drumble and the Terror, along with double Ember Imp, where I can be like, I can just kill all these disc guys knowing the Arise will eventually come, and then, oh, you burst it up. Oh, that's awesome. Let me just, you know, Arise, I'll play Drumble, you know, take all your Amber. And then I'll play the Terror and get to Amber, and it's like all of a sudden you have all these like crazy discs, and I have two Amber imps, so you got to kill both of them if you even want to kill the Drumble. Like, it, I don't know, like that kind of stuff. I love bursty swinging plays as one of the places I start. What about you? What draws you to a deck?
I'm still having nightmares over that darn Drumble, just because, I mean, I've rage quit so many times against that deck. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think for me, I like decks that just have the answers. So I know, like, with the first set when it came out, it was very, like, speed-heavy deck. You want to, you know, get Amber as quickly as you possibly can. And I was always kind of that troll in card games where, like, I just wanted to have that deck that just countered your strategy. And so my favorite deck that I play, I mean, it doesn't go fast. It's actually, like, I think, like, maybe a one efficiency. Like, it's not a fast deck whatsoever. But it just always seems to have the right answer for the situation. And it's not, like, very combo heavy. It's just kind of like, okay, I have two Charettes in my hand, so there goes six of your Amber. Okay, well, now I'm going to play my bait and switch and to the Ronnie, and it's kind of combo-y, like you were saying, to an extent, but more so for, like, the defensive side of it. So I like that, like, War of Attrition style game, where I just kind of keep countering everything you're trying to do to eventually get to that win. So yeah, I think my favorite deck, which I think I've talked about on here, it has like two cards that can get rid of artifacts, has like two Abad the Grims plus two Charettes, a bunch of steel mechanics, and so just kind of little cheeky ways that every single turn it seems like I happen to have the perfect answer. I think that's my favorite style of play for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And So speaking of that, you and I and Kevin, we triple co-own a new deck.
Yeah, we do.
We do. This deck is called Wherever Femur. It's one word. Wherever Femur, Bayou Overlord. And this deck has a little bit of, like, infamy online because our buddy Landon opened it in a Target starter and sent it to you and me, and we both freaked out because
he's like, what's the big deal, guys? We're like, you don't even understand.
he just sent us the deck list, and we knew immediately, like, this thing is straight fire. I'm not going to go through the whole deck list, but it has triple Exhum, it has the Obsidian Forge Harbinger of Doom thing in dis, also Gleeful Mayhem, so if you need a good board wipe. In Logos, it has double Edai 4x4. It has Wild Wormhole, so auto win.
Instant
obviously.
Wins.
And then it, but the spice is the Saurian. It has four Phalanx Strikes, which is sort of awkward, but it has the creatures are Grim Locust Ducks. It's the big 11 2 taunt dinosaur that exalts twice. It has Paraguardian, double Thero Centurion, and Senator Brockus. And the Senator Brockus lets you forge or use the amber on your own creatures to forge a key. So with four Phalanx Strikes when you're exalting so much, it's pretty phenomenal. You also have Imperium and Ancient Power to like ward some of these guys, and Paraguardian wards these guys. But the secret sauce is it has a Maverick key charge in the Saurian house. So you can have all these exalted guys drop Brockus and then key charge like out of nowhere, like because you just have all the amber like there. You could have zero. Like we played a game like I had zero amber, but I had six amber on my guys, so I could just forge. You couldn't because it's on the guys. You can't take care of the guy. Like you had no like creature control.
Right. Yeah, I think you had the Morded or something too, and I was like, this is dumb. I hate this game. I want to quit.
So some people have like randomly like stumbled it, like have played sealed games on TCO and like have played this and then they'll post like Sanctimonious, like Crucible Tales or whatever and say, guys, look at this sealed deck I have. And now people know that I own it. And so I keep getting tagged in it. And technically I 1/3 own it with you and Kevin.
Hey, that is okay. As long as people like see that and get a little bit angry at you and not me, we're cool.
Yeah,
it's all good.
But everyone kind of freaks out because they're like, Dino key charge, Dino key charge. And so it's stuff like this that, like, that's, again, like the combo-y, like, key charge, Senator Brockus, triple Exhum to get the Senator back or get the Edai 4x4 to, like, really mess with your key cost. Like, it's just an insane deck, and it makes me happy when I play it. But that's the kind of deck, it, like, again, it's like the combo-y uniqueness of, like, you know, I don't know how many Maverick Saurian key charges exist, but this might be the one of the only ones, or the only one. Possibly. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. But yeah, so that's
so fun. So that's kind of been a lot of what's going on in the KeyForge world and things to kind of be getting excited about. But even with all of those things in the future, I think you and I have both kind of talked about, you know, sometimes playing the same decks just kind of feels a little stale. So you actually had this really fun idea, which, are you ready to roll that out?
Let's do it.
Ooh, guys.
Brand new thing.
It's going to be spicy. What you got for us?
You doing it or I'm doing it?
Oh, you got all this.
We're gonna do a new segment, and we'll hope if it's popular, we'll keep doing it. But we're calling it the Wild Reversal Challenge. Okay, the Wild Reversal Challenge. So in a normal reversal game, right, you bring your terrible deck, you exchange it, and then you see whose deck is a little bit better, and you try to win, right? Well, here what we're gonna do is Jim and I are going to choose each other's decks, okay? Any deck. We don't necessarily have to own it. It's just any deck that exists. But we're going to put stipulations on it, right? So each week we're going to do a different challenge, and then we're going to record it, put it on YouTube for people to watch, and then we'll talk about what happened in that game when we record again. And in future, if we get ahead of it a little bit, we might even be able to bring the deck name, and we can talk about the decks we chose for each other, and just something a little fun to just joke around and play some terrible things. But at the same time, it's not, I wanted to make it so that we don't just find a terrible 23 sass deck and say good luck. I wanted to, like, again, put some stipulations on it. So we're gonna say that the decks have to stay 60. I think 62 is like the average SAS score for a deck. And of course, SAS isn't perfect. We get it. Okay. For everyone out there who says that's dumb, we get it. But it's a baseline to start with. Okay. So we're going to say it has to be above 62 SAS. And I'm going to choose for this first one, for this first challenge, we get to choose each other's deck. It has to be above 62 SAS. And they both have to have the card that I just hate. And I don't know why it was printed. But that is, of course, Narp.
Ooh, Narp. That's a good card. I don't know what you're talking about.
So we're basically going to have to play Worlds Collide Brobnar, which is awful. But they have to be at least 62 sass.
Does Mega Narp count as a Narp?
Does Mega Narp count as a Narp? I'm going to say yes. I will accept that.
Spicy. I'm getting excited already.
So basically, you're going to have to go and start looking at these decks and find one that you're going to make me play. I'll find one that you're going to play. We'll record it sometime this week and post that and then we'll come back and talk about it. Sound good?
Sounds good to me. Yeah, I think that was such a funny idea, like you said, just the Wild Reversal Challenge. So hopefully it takes off and we can kind of get creative and come up with other sweet brainchild decks that are going to be absolute trash, which is definitely our style of play anyway.
So next time you're gonna choose the stipulations, and we'll throw down.
Yes, you have to give me an 85 rated deck. I give you under 60, and we'll play it. That seems
great.
Fair.
That's riveting entertainment. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure everybody would love that one. I'll come up with something better.
Awesome. Goodness. Well, I can't wait. Get ready for some nonsense.
So that's our new segment, but we can't ever forget about our classic segment here at the Wild Wormhole.
Heck yeah, guys. It's King Potato time.
King Potato.
And in case you missed our last episode,
I don't want to talk about it.
We sort of retired because I successfully guessed King Potato and I won. I just won KeyForge. Like, I won, you know, King Potato. So if you're picking this up brand new because you've been quarantined, you never listened to us, King Potato is a segment where we choose a deck name that exists in the database. It can be any deck name that is just a little bit silly, a little bit funny, just makes us laugh a little bit. And then one of us gives the other person, which I've won King Potato, so I feel like I'm immune from now on, and you're just going to guess till you win.
It's not
possible. You have to guess what the houses are in that deck, understanding that the algorithm picked, you know, the name based on the houses. right?
Okay.
Makes sense. So, oh,
yeah.
Tim, are you ready for this week's King Potato?
Lay all right. It on me.
Now, feel free to play at home. Let us know how you do. You can hit us up on Twitter. I'm on there a lot on the Wild Wormhole Twitter account. Jim's on there. I think he has like 6 followers, guys. So can we please get Jim some more followers? Even sure. If he sucks at King Potato.
Teach me how to tweet. That would be ideal. So this whole online accountability thing needs to happen here.
I love KeyForge Twitter. There's a lot of good stuff on there. A lot of good people. Okay. The deck name today, it was actually on the opening page when I opened it. I was like, that is phenomenal, nice. And we're definitely talking about it. The deck name is, and I will tell you the set, because I think that's the best way. This is from Worlds Collide.
Okay.
Okay? I
appreciate that.
The deck name is The Disaster That Betrays Entertainment.
Ooh.
The Disaster That Betrays Entertainment, and I'm not going to lie. In the back of my head, I thought this is very an appropriate name for the season that our world is in right now.
Yeah. Wow. The more you think about it, the deeper that gets. You
right?
Know,
it's like this virus is a disaster that's betraying entertainment. It's keeping us from playing KeyForge at the table. So.
Man.
So
that got deep
take,
real quick.
Take
all
that.
Right. Well.
I know.
So clearly the only way to win this game of King Potato is to really get behind the science of each word to determine the three house combo. It's obviously science based. There's no luck or guessing involved.
No, I nailed it last time. King Potato last, the anti-hunt, the actor of epic poems, and I nailed it. So I don't even know what you're saying.
I was so impressed. Okay. The disaster that betrays
entertainment. And talk us through your thought process.
Absolutely. Okay, so there's some initial thoughts here. So entertainment, first thing I think of, actually similar to the actor of epic poems, is actually more Saurian style. I think of entertainment, like the Roman Greek style conglomerate thing that they kind of created there. I think that's probably where I'm going with the entertainment side of things. I'm trying to think of anything else major that would stick out to me. The disaster, I think this makes the most sense on the surface for disaster. Disaster. Wow. Okay, that was lame of me. but would they be that obvious? Because the other route I could go with that is a classic little Brobnar house. You know, those big old giants wreaking havoc and creating disasters. So that's a little spicy. So right now I'm between Dis and Brobnar for the disaster part of it. Now the betrayal, that could really only be one. And obviously that is Logos. Kidding. I think it's Shadows. So betrayal, Shadows, I think that sneakiness, that opportunity to really, you know, stab somebody in the back and betray them. I'm leaning Shadows there. So really, I've only kind of eliminated Logos and Star Alliance now, because now I'm going back to Disaster and Untamed is coming in. You have natural disasters. Nature's Call is in Untamed. Clearly, that's the connection they're going for. So final answer is Untamed, Shadows, Saurian. Locking it in. Give me that 3 out of 3. What you got?
All right, Jim. The houses for the Disaster That Betrays Entertainment are...
Yeah.
Untamed.
Hey!
Ding, ding, ding. Shadows.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding. And
Brobnar. Oh, man.
2 out of 3. I'm so sorry, Jim. You failed again.
It's okay. It's all good. The entertainment. I was just so stuck on that having to be sorry. And there was just no other thing in my head.
But Jim, do you remember the Vault Tour prizes? They literally made a rock band from Brobnar. And the art on Brobnar cars is like a rock band where they're all like,
how could I
war
miss
drummer and yeah, drummer not all these. Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
I got
man.
The Nature's Call, meaning the disaster for natural disasters. How did I not get that connection?
I don't know. Unbelievable. Man. That was, I thought you were going to get it. I was like, this is solid.
I think
now,
I was so hung up on that first part. I neglected that. Cause like you said, yeah, that's just smacking me in the face. Now there really wasn't another option.
Hmm.
Man, 2 out of 3. It's, I can't even consider it a win anymore. I feel like it's just kind of par for the course these days.
Now, this deck does have double NARP, so I already looked it up on Decks of Keyforge, but it's a, it's a 54, so it's a little too low for us.
A little too low. Yep, got to be at least average.
And the Untamed is pretty bad, so I don't
know.
Did
you hit a haha, like, funny name on Decks of Keyforge? Because that would definitely qualify.
Yeah, it should. Should give you extra points.
For sure.
All right. Well, that'll do it. That'll do it. Be sure to follow us on the social media on mainly just Twitter these days. Gonna be honest. We'll post the episode on Facebook, but not super active on there. We do have a Discord channel. It's a little dead right now, but you know, maybe with us doing some more, maybe it'll reappear, have some revigoration. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We're pretty wild, kind of. Do our own thing, so we'll see. See what takes off.
I didn't prepare any flavor text for the closing line, so I'm just gonna read NARP's. The NARP's flavor text is from Science Officer Kincan from Star Alliance, and it simply says, "What happens when he runs out of trees?" I don't know. I don't know. He's got
well,
like
ladies
some,
and gentlemen, have a NARPy day.
He's got like some trees. Have a NARPy day. That sounds terrible. All right, thanks for tuning in, guys. Be sure to check out the YouTubes sometime this week, and we'll get that game going for the Wild Reversal Challenge. But if you have suggestions, you can turn those in too. Otherwise, we'll see you on the next one.
Adios.
Bye.